This is the facial scanner that I'm standing at now. First of all, I have to swipe my card, so we're doing that. And then there's a chin rest. I'm going to put my chin on, and I'm going to be staring into quite a large concave perspex thing, but within this are a whole load of cameras that are going to scan my face. So here we go.
I'm looking into this perspex. It's like a half a dome, basically. I'm looking into this dome, and I'm getting a not particularly flattering image of my face, which is projected onto a screen in a very sci-fi kind of way in front of me. And there are instructions being beamed up here as well, saying, keep your head still. And now it says data analysis complete, so I can take my head out of the way.
And now I'm looking at it, crunching through all this data, and I'm seeing my face being projected back at me, images of my face, from lots of different angles, some more flattering than others. And now there's a message coming up saying, creating fake ID. That all sounds a bit dodgy, Stephen. A fake ID for me? What's all that about?
Well, spies need to pretend to be other people. So if you're going to break into Auslex headquarters, you need to have a fake ID to get in there. So that's what we've just created now, using some of the latest face scanning technology, which actually we could be seeing in everyday life in a few years to come.
And that's the point. It looks a bit sci-fi, but this is technology that is pretty much here now. We're going to see more and more of it over the years to come.
Yeah, the way face scanning works is it records the positions of key points, like where your eyes are, where your nose is, and where your chin are, which can then be referred back to and matched next time you put your face into a scanner.
And there's another trainee spy doing the same thing just behind me. This is a particularly young spy because his dad's lifting him up so he can get his chin onto the chin rest here. But these are the ones to watch out for. It's the young ones, honestly. Right, now, this room here takes us on to the next stage of my mission, because to be a decent spy, I'm going to need, obviously, the tools of the trade. So what have we got in here?
We've got something which reads your deleted SMSs, so you might have thrown away those old I love you SMSs, but you can still be found out.
Well, so they're still there on your SIM card then, are they?
They're still there on your SIM card, wow. And if somebody has the technology, they can extract them.
And you're doing a lot of stuff with fingerprint recognition here as well, but I wasn't expecting to see a load of squidgy jelly baby sweets here. So how do these relate to fingerprint recognition?
On the face of it, fingerprint scanning, it's like, well, okay, well, that's proof positive that you are who you should be, and that's completely secure. But in actual fact, there are ways to fool those fingerprint scanners. And a particular gentleman in Japan has worked out a way using GUI sweets to basically to lift somebody else's fingerprint and then create a false fingerprint for himself, and then he can pretend to be somebody else using gummy sweets.
Very high tech. There's also a phone in here. It looks like a normal mobile phone, but it wouldn't be in this museum as part of a spying exhibition if it was normal. So what's special about this one then?
Well, just starting to come in are phones which incorporate things like iris recognition. Again, your iris is unique to you, and actually you can have a system where there's no point anybody stealing your phone, because they wouldn't be able to log into it, because it can scan your iris and tell who you are. It also has things, applications which can change your voice and make you sound like somebody else. Invaluable for a spy.
And we're going to let a few more spies in here. As we move across, though, just got to quick look at this thing here. It looks like a rock, but it isn't a rock. So what is it?
Well, this is a rock rather like the one that Russian agents found some British agents using in Moscow a while ago, which operates using Bluetooth to download digital information.
A Bluetooth rock, amazing. Okay, let's go and look at the next stage of things here then. Now, this is very exciting. We're walking into the Auslex headquarters. And in order to gain access, we have an option here. We can either go for a body scan or a brain scan, and we have to choose which one. And initially, I think to myself, well, that's quite an easy choice, but I'm not so sure now, Stephen. I mean, what do you think I should go for?
During the development of this exhibition, we not only worked with a number of spies, but a lot of engineers and scientists. And there's several research groups who are working on being able to figure out what people are thinking. Specifically, if you show a test subject an image that they've seen before, their brain fires off in a particular way, and there are various ways to detect that recognition of that image. So essentially, they can find out whether you've seen an image before. So that technology is being developed. It hasn't actually been rolled out yet, but it is being developed. The body scan, on the other hand, of course, is already being used, certainly in some airports.
Right. Well, I'll go for the body scan and play safe. Now we're well inside Oztec HQ, and we've got some security cameras to look at here. They're getting images from around the complex. And Stephen, there's a camera here, for instance, which shows somebody, looks like they're behaving in a slightly weird way. It's some guy in a suit who seems to be hunched up in a ball in front of a lift. What's going on there?
One of the points we wanted to make was that even with a lot of technology to see what's going on various places, the interpretation is often in the eye of the beholder, and you often need a human to make a decision about what's going on. So is this guy trying to break into this office, or has he just dropped his pen or something like that? You decide.
And I've got two buttons here, one which allows me to effectively not do very much, another one to call security. So I'm going to press this button. And, oh look, see, it has triggered some security guard to come along, and he's now speaking to this guy who's been hunched up on the floor. And this bloke doesn't look too amused.
No, he's a bit hacked off because he's just dropped his pen and you've called security on him. What did you do that for?
That's a bad call. But it goes to show, doesn't it, like, how the technology's all very well, but there's human judgment, even in a high-tech, Oztec world, is still pretty crucial.
Human judgment is vital, really. With all this technology and all this technology we can wheel out over the next few decades, it's still down to how we use it and how we interpret the information.
That's Stephen Folger in the Science Museum in London.